Oh, that Joshua, he got tricked. That's so heavy. But it's always interesting to me as I prepare a message, and part of the preparation is like, God, what are you ministering to the people in this? What am I supposed to take away from this? What are they supposed to take away from this? And I think it's interesting to me that even though I didn't give him the New Testament reading, the Old Testament, he chose those. Someone chose those, and they're to do with leadership. And he comes up, and he says first in his prayer is like, "Hey, we have a church meeting. We need to talk about leadership." And I'll tell you, part of why I'm here today is to talk about leadership. So it's interesting what God does with his people. Let me get opened up here. Last time we were together, we took a look at what it meant to walk worthy. The first six verses of chapter 4 had this instruction mostly centered around how we are to respond to each other in the body of Christ. More importantly, how we respond to each other here in the local church. But it should extend outside to the other believers as well, to our other church family, our extended CMA, and other believers. Remember, the first three chapters, this is so important. If you take away one thing from me teaching this book, I want you to understand that the first three chapters is about what God did for us. And the second three chapters is, therefore, we respond in this manner. Split up by that therefore. We respond in these three chapters by this walking worthy. And I think the key verse of what we did last week was verse 2, where it says, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another. And I think the most important of that is like, we have to open ourselves up to correction. So we have to allow ourselves to make mistakes, basically. If we're not allowing ourselves to make mistakes, we're not growing. And so often we don't allow ourselves to make mistakes. This is important to this next portion, because in order to live out this next part, it requires a step of faith, which will require us to be in a vulnerable position in front of one another. It requires a dropping of barriers, these walls that we put up, these images of ourselves that we put forward to others. A step of faith, if you will, to lower those bridges. One of the hardest things to do, in my experience, is to change. And doing it in front of other people, especially, I know a lot of people are family in here. You guys have been knowing each other for quite a long time. Making those changes from who I was to what God is calling me to. And remember, we're all going through this all the time until we're perfected into Christ's image. So if we stop changing, which I think is the tendency, because we become a certain thing and then we like who that person is, because it's more like Jesus, and we get comfortable in that position. If we practice that with all lowliness and gentleness and with long suffering, then this is going to propel us forward. It's gonna allow people to believe, hey, when I make mistakes or when I misspeak, it's gonna allow for change if we're operating with those ideas about how we're treating each other. Today, the title of the message is Identifying a Calling. Do I have that up? Perfect. Remember previous, the idea of walking worthy, we are walking worthy of our calling. It's true that verse is talking about Jesus has called us from darkness into light, for example. But it's also true that he has called us with a plan and a purpose. I remember when God started talking to me about what he was calling me to. And I was in prison at the time. And previous to going to prison, about a month, for those that don't know my testimony, before I went to jail, about a month before, I was watching a TV evangelist, and I said, God, I'm so sick of this life. I'm so tired of it. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to change. And after that prayer, God had spoke to me, but that's maybe for a different day. In this particular moment, I had been in prison for a couple of months, and when I went into prison, I knew that this time, God had reminded me about the prayer that I prayed, and now here I found myself in this situation. In fact, I wasn't really that upset to be in prison. I was more relieved, right? Now I was going to get this opportunity to learn and to understand. And so from that time, God spoke to me in many different ways. But on one occasion, I remember him speaking to me through the verse, Jesus speaking to Peter, which God has typically spoken to me in those verses of that character of Peter, because I think we're a lot alike. You know, we let our feet get before our head most of the time. And so God was speaking to me in this moment. He said, I'm going to make you a fisherman of men. And I said, oh, wow, I laughed. I laughed to myself. And I said, God, you think I'm going to tell people that God speaks to me and that I speak to him and that this is going to be helpful in some way, right? But that just shows a lack of knowledge of what God was calling to. But with that, we're going to step right into today's portion, which is going to be the next Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now, know this, he ascended, what does that mean, but also that he first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things, and he might himself, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature and of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of man in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is head, Christ, from whom the body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body and edifying of itself. Lord, we just come before you this morning, God, and we look for you to inspire us, to encourage us. Lord, we come before you, God, acknowledging those areas in which we've been weak in our life and those areas which we've been strong. Lord, but we acknowledge most that we need you. Lord, and as we go through these verses today, we pray today that you would reveal to us, Lord, the areas in which you have gifted us. Lord, as believers in you, we know that we can expect to be strengthened and built up by you, but not only that, but provided these gifts. And so, Lord, we want to be our part of the body. Lord, we want to supply the others with what they need. So, Lord, we ask that you would minister to our hearts and minds today, that you would speak through your word and strengthen us, we pray. In Jesus' name. In verses 7 and 8, we see he has distributed to each and by which method. I apologize. In verse 7 and 8, we see that he has distributed to each and by which method the gifts are distributed. Like salvation, God's spiritual gifts are by God's grace. The unmerited giving of God, no one has earned or deserves spiritual gifts. In verse 8, Paul is quoting from Psalm 68:18, revealing the prophecy Jesus fulfilled that allowed the gift giver to both receive you and me unto himself, but also that he first gave of himself. This should be slide 7 that we're on here, verse 68:18. You have ascended on high, you have led captivity captive, you have received gifts among men, even from the rebellious, that the Lord God might dwell there. Jesus left his home in heaven, humbled himself, lived the perfect life, then gave it to the death of the cross. After 3 days rising from the grave, he spent 40 days with his disciples, then ascended into heaven, sending us his spirit. Then ascended into heaven, sending us his spirit. All of this that we might be reconciled to him, that we might have life through his death and life through his spirit, that he might not only dwell among us, but also in us. Next slide. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Next slide. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And can I tell you, this is going to be the fundamental understanding of where we're going today, is this spiritual connection between me and Jesus, does it exist? Does it exist? Is it there? Do I recognize it? Do I see it? This is something that Scripture talks about over and over, and it's fundamental to a believer, is do I see, does my spirit confirm in me that I am a child of God? This is the most important. And can I tell you, if you're not sure today, then don't leave here without speaking with somebody. Brad's here, I'm here, I'd love to have this conversation with you. What this means to know. In my testimony, I talked about this commitment that I had made to Jesus watching a televangelist. He spoke to me in that moment. And I could tell, like, this is God speaking to me. He actually, in that moment, he said, you said this last week, because I prayed the same prayer 2 weeks in a row. And he said, you said this last week, but look what you did. And he had showed me a pack of sour Skittles that I had stolen from the local sheets. This was in Greenwood, actually. This pack of sour Skittles that I stole. And the reason I knew this was God, even though I was strung out on drugs and all manner of a 9-month, like, just crazy way of living, the truth of this simple thing I had stolen revealed to me this is only God that can take this little thing that I perceived as little. See, I didn't think at the time, my philosophy was like, stores have plenty of money, I have none, so I should be able to steal from them and I should be okay. See, God, and if I was going to feel negative or guilty about anything in that time, there would be a plethora of other things I would feel negative or guilty about, but this, God was revealing to me that sin was the problem that was separating us. The truth, I apologize, I lost my train of thought. This happens to me all the time. the point is that after 2 years, I would end up in a Bible teaching church where they would give an altar call. And many times even before this, I said, should I go up there? I was asking myself, should I go up there? I was asking God, really, should I go up there? And the Lord spoke to me. He said, are you sure? Are you sure? And I said, what can it hurt? I'm not sure. So I went up again. I would do this many times in my life, but God has, today I stand here in front of you a sure man. And that's most important, because God takes that sure man and he works in his life, and he does work from his life. And that's why I tell you it's so important. Slide 10, or the next slide. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Here in verse 11 and 12, we see the gift of leadership, offices which the Lord himself fills. In view here are four specific offices, and though to some it may look like five, and some have actually created ministries called like a five-fold ministry, but the pastor teacher is, in the Greek, it's speaking of one office with two descriptions about that particular office. Apostles. Apostles are a special ambassadors of God's work. Now, you will hear in various groups, and they'll say that this office was one for the early church. And authoritatively speaking, I would agree with what it's saying, right? Like, apostles of that era were writing scripture, but mainly how it pertains to scripture. The canon, I believe, is done of scripture, but so I don't think we should be looking for new revelation today, and I think scripture would back that up. But I think that the office itself still exists. I think it's too instructive of a book, too fundamental to our belief to just simply say that was for only for then. It's to ignore what the gift that God is trying to give in the modern church, i.e. your Pauls, Peters, and Johns. Simply, I see the role filled in those in the manner of a pastor who is teaching other pastors, or the one that's overseeing many churches. I believe that gift is filled in that manner. A prophet is simply someone who speaks forth the words from God. Now, this should be in complete consistency with what we have from Scripture. A prophet is someone who is generally gives direction and correction, usually in the form of, future. But it should line up with what Scripture says. Slide 11. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent, for you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. Right? So it's speaking about this working that the Spirit does in the congregation to bring about putting forward a word that God has for his people. In view of the verse, the first thing that's kind of in view as we look at the verse is the order in which God expects from his people, right? He's saying one is inspired by God and begins to give a prophecy. The next man is inspired by God, but it should happen in a manner that we are yielding one to another, because it's never if you see somebody trying to dominate, that's not really how God works. He works even in the Godhead by yielding. So just to give you a an idea of what that would look like. It's not meant to be about an argument about direction, but discerning what God is saying about our direction or what God is doing. Let others judge. Is God saying this is, is God saying this, or does it line up with Scripture? Right? This is why we have leaders, so we can take these things. And this is part of that, what I was talking about earlier, is like where we have to be vulnerable to experience some of this stuff. Like, we have to be willing to be wrong, right? Is God telling me this to tell everybody? Or am I? And so I think the appropriate response from the person is to give that, right? It's the responsibility of the leadership to say, hey, this is why we don't necessarily think this is a direction we're going to go, or this is a prophetic word for us because of what we're seeing in Scripture, or what principles we live by in this particular congregation. And in order for that person and for both to really work, there's a required vulnerability. Are the people gonna see me as a silly, or are they gonna make fun of me, or how are they gonna respond to me when I bring this to them? How are they when I respond in the Spirit? When I take this step of faith, how are the people around me gonna respond? And this is why it's so important how we're treating one another. Along the same lines as the apostle office, a lot of groups throughout the church will say that there's no prophet office, but the prophecy is over, which I would agree of the authoritative sense of that is that those prophets were in charge of writing and producing Scripture through the Spirit. So I would agree with that in a sense, but not that this office or that this gifting doesn't exist. It says in 1 Corinthians 14:1, or that was for a different time. In 1 Corinthians 14:1, it says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Right? So here's this calling to be desiring these giftings. Desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. I feel it's a better practice to not just write off what we don't understand, but to seek answers through the Scriptures, through elders, through the church, elders in the church, and supremely Jesus himself. I remember, just to give you an example of this prophetic thing, because I'll be honest, I fully don't understand. I come from a fairly conservative church, just like kind of like this one, but its origins was in the spiritual, obviously. But I remember when I was at a worship night one time, and I was praying about this or that. I don't remember what I had going on. But a lady came up to me and she said, I really feel like God just has this word for you. And she gave me Jeremiah 29:11. I'm sure some of you are familiar with this verse. For I know the plans for you, plans for good and not of evil. It's a good verse, right? But it's also a very popular verse. So it was like when she came to me in the middle of this thing, I was kind of like put off. I was like, oh, what's going on? Because we were always going to these worship nights to see and experience what God was going to do, what he was going to speak, what he was going to minister. And when this lady came up to me and spoke to me, I was like, oh, well, that's nice. You know, I thought she was just quoting some verse that like she knew. But, you know, that verse would go on to continuously throughout my life minister to me in many different ways. God would continue to use it. I remember I'd walked away from the Lord for a bit, and I was coming back, and I was at this church, and I was with a friend, and I had been ministering to him after years of living like a heathen. I said, I'm going to go to church with this kid so he can get saved. And in that time, I was realizing, like, oh, like, what have I been missing out on? But they give an altar call, and I'm like, I'm going to stand. I'm sure, but I'm going to stand because this guy's here. I want him to be comfortable. And so I stood, and he didn't stand. But they ushered me right back into this little prayer room right after. And the man in that moment gave me that verse. And it was so powerful. The Lord, I just knew. So a prophecy can really happen in lots of different ways and take lots of different shapes. What I would encourage you, somebody who might be thinking like, oh, is this my gifting? Is like, have some Scripture to give to people, right? You don't have to be up here giving people scripture. You can write it down. You can say, Lord, you can be in prayer and say, Lord, help me to encourage and strengthen and inspire others. And this lady simply came, was obedient to God, came to me in the middle of this worship night and gave me this word, and has impacted the rest of my life. And God will continue to impact my life through it. The simplest verse. An evangelist is a person who are especially gifted at sharing the gospel. And I believe the way that this role is filled within the church is that they equip, build up, and strengthen the church through their experiences and what God has ministered to them. I believe that in all of these roles, God has and does different things in the life of the person to give him the abilities to shape the way he sees things. And so that person is able to not only have the experiences that are an encouragement to others to share, those times when God used him speaking to somebody, but also that he would know practically how the gospel should be presented and should build up the church in that manner. The pastor teacher, and this is an office which we're all pretty used to seeing, and his duties center around teaching the word and giving direction to the body of believers, to building them up, being there to watch over them like a shepherd over their sheep. And we have our own Brad here today. Can I just say, like, as a group, I'm so proud of this man, of his commitment to step up and to say, I want to take on this task for these people. I want to be in front of them. And I can tell you from being here, from when I first started coming here to now, I can see the impact he has already had, or God has had through him in this ministry. So I just pray the Lord would just continue to bless you in this ministry as you serve him. These offices are designed by God to build you up, the saints, for the work of the ministry and the edification of the body as a whole. Edification means simply to build up, to construct, or to put together. Next slide, it should be 12, I believe. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberty, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy. I'll bet it's up there. He shows mercy with cheerfulness. Very good. So this is underlined in these four verses are seven gifts that we should expect to see as we look around. But most important is to understanding what God's calling is in our life. In figuring out which of these gifts we have or which are common use for God in our lives, then using them amongst the body of believers. Figuring out which gifts God is using and then using them as a group and a collective to build each other up. Now, I thought to go through this list for you and to kind of define some of these practical examples and the whatnot, but I was worried about time. But also, I feel like it's a more instructive thing to do is to simply ask you to go through it. Like, here's the verse. If you have a Bible, mark it down. It's important that you know how God is using you, how God wants to use you. Spend some time with the Lord. Ask him. Go through, define or seek clarity in various words here. At first glance, just reading through this, it's going to look like just pretty basic. But when you start pulling apart some of these words and what these things mean, then you're going to understand, oh, this is how God is using me. There might be a natural trait to you that you think that it's just been natural to you your whole life, but you'll realize by defining this that God is actually showing you a gifting that he's using in your life. Not only that, I would encourage you to ask your brothers and sisters, like, hey, this is what I'm saying. Is this what you're saying? This is about this life that we're spending is about communicating with each other. It's about building each other up. It's not just Brad comes up here, gives us a lesson, we learn, and we move on. No, we learn how to have community with each other and use these gifts with each other and build each other up. The idea is that we come together around the Spirit and the works of the Spirit. Next slide, should be 13. Till we all come to the unity of faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to be a perfect man, the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried away with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of man and in the cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting. And we've seen that earlier in that other verse. Like, I immediately thought of this verse when I seen that Joshua verse. Those men had prepared that lie. They had found old sandals. They had scuffed those babies up a little bit. They had gotten some old bread. They had let it wither. These are the same types of things we deal with in this world today. And if we're not prepared, if we're not filled with the Spirit, they will be a problem. When I say we, this is not an individual sport. We're here at the body of Christ because we protect each other through our collective knowledge. Verses 13 and 14 speaking about the growing process, which we are currently going through. This process of being perfected into the image of Jesus through the edification, his gifts, the edification of his gifts by his Spirit and through his people. The edification of his gifts by his Spirit and through his people. These are all in view here. This is why each individual is so important. Everyone here has something different. And the truth of it is, everybody has something different, and we all need that something different because we don't have everything. We're not completed. We're completed in the body. And as little or as big as you see yourself, it's in practice and learning. Speaking of the importance and the mindset of some people think they're too important, some people think they're not important enough, people think they have things of value to say, and some people think they don't have things of value to say. Regardless of that, you are gifted in a way that we all need. It's in practice and learning from the Scripture that we won't be set off track from God's plan and purpose for us. Tossed to and fro here has the idea of a boat in the waves with its passengers being moved back and forth by the exterior force, the waves. These verses also reflect how we should be growing in our knowledge of Scripture, but not just understanding of what's there in the Bible or knowledge of Bible or knowledge should be giving us collective... Our knowledge should be giving us collective direction. In other words, our collective knowledge and understanding will be our seatbelt against the storms of life. That was clever. I wish I would have gotten that correct. Knowledge and understanding will be our seatbelt against those storms of life. So, yes, we're coming here for an individual type of knowledge, but we're also coming here for a collective type of knowledge. We're coming here to understand, what is God doing with us collectively? What direction are we going? And every time I come here, I always see this verse that says, without vision, the people perish. Without vision, the people perish. And it's so important. We need to have a direction, an idea of where our purpose is. That way, when Satan comes in, he says, oh, well, you're this is your role. This is your plan. This is your purpose, right? Because he's not trying to steal your soul. Nothing. Nobody can take you from the hand of the Father. What he wants to do is get people off track. He wants to get you not doing nothing effective for Christ by making us selfish, by making us individualistic. We're meant to work as a body. We're meant to work as a whole. We are all important. I think it's the last one. I hope it's the last one for you guys' sake. Slide 14. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself. So much of what we venture into, when we take a step of faith, requires going into the unknown. Even as believers, we have a tendency to be wrong or to get off track. We have to be willing and ready to both receive a correction, and this correction should come in the form of love, but also give a correction. I've seen it both ways. I've seen people not want to give a correction because of they're intimidated. You got to be willing to do both. You should be sure that you should be doing one of them, and you should definitely be sure it's in love at all times. And it should always, this love should be in the sense of setting this individual back on track, not just proving one's right or wrong. Edification should be on our mind when we attend church. How can I look to be built up or build others up using my gifts? If we understand every single individual here is being built up, and we understand I have gifts that may help. Well, if I don't know what God has gifted me with, if I don't know what tools I have, how can I possibly help you? How can it happen? Not only that, if I don't know what gifts you have, how do I know to come ask you for that certain tool? If I need help with my drywall, I know who to call. They got the right tools. They got that little lift thing. I ain't trying to carry that stuff all day. That stuff's heavy. I call him up. Hey, I need your help. And this should be the way it looks like when I have a need, right? It should be like, hey, who's gifted? I have a friend who needs to hear the gospel. Who's in the body that shares the gospel? I'm calling him up so he can come and meet with that person, right? These roles shouldn't be all done by the pastor. By the way, this is another common misconception. It's like, hey, I have a problem, which you should call the pastor. In fact, if you need his number, you don't have it. You give me a call. Call anytime, any hour of the night. But the truth of it is that we should be in community with each other to know, like, hey, I need prayer for a certain thing. I'm going to call this person. Hey, I have... I don't know what to do in this particular situation. I have this son or daughter. I need counseling. I have this son or daughter who's wayward. I don't know what to do. I don't know how I should be responding in this, right? We should know who in the body of Christ has these gifts of mercy. We should know so that we can call, so that we can understand, so that we can grow. And that's what this is about, edification. It's this way God is building us up through each other, using each other, the gifts he has given to each other. Remember, this life we live is not mine, but his. And we're here to serve others. And when we come to church with that mindset, it will help us to get over those fears and those doubts and those worries about how other people are going to perceive us. I wrote my own benediction today, if that's okay with you. I didn't know if that was like official like church business. I was like, I don't know if I can do this or not. I'm gonna read this benediction over you guys, but let's pray first. Lord, we hear your word, Lord. We hear your spirit calling us into your plan and your purpose for us. Lord, we pray that you help us with our fear. Lord, I pray that you would just help this group of believers to grow and flourish with one another, Lord, into your plan and your purpose for them. Lord, that they would experience growth, not only personally, but collectively as a body. Lord, desiring to serve you and to glorify you with their lives. Lord, help us to be built up, we pray, in Jesus' name. And now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Dismissed. Or do I get to say dismissed, or do you have to say?